There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trapp Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive, with the Lord's guidance and direction, to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla DeDessi here at 1180 WFYL, working for Your Liberty right here in the Philadelphia area. Thank you for joining us this morning. Did you teach your children this week about Veterans Day and the definition of a veteran? How did you celebrate with your family this week? Did you know that every November 11th, is Veterans Day. It is set aside to honor those who have served our country. And this holiday actually traces its roots back to World War I when it was known as Armistice Day. Have you ever heard of Armistice Day? In 1954, there was a proclamation about Armistice Day, and the Congress spelled out the purpose for this commemoration of this awesome holiday. This is what they said in 1954. Whereas the 11th of November, 1918, marked the cessation of the most destructive and far-reaching war in human annals and the resumption by the people of the United States of peaceful relations with other nations, which we hope may never again be severed. And whereas it is fitting that the recurring anniversary of this date should be commemorated with thanksgiving and prayer and exercises designed to perpetuate peace through goodwill and mutual understanding between nations. Therefore, the states have declared November 11th to be a legal holiday. Therefore, be it resolved by the Senate, the House of Representatives at the time, that the President of the United States is requested to issue a proclamation calling upon the officials to display the flag of the United States on all government buildings on November 11th and inviting the people of the United States to observe the day in schools and churches or other suitable places with appropriate ceremonies of friendly relations with all other people. November 11th each year, we set aside this day to think about our veterans. Here are a few thoughts from former presidents on the Day of Veterans Honoring. Abraham Lincoln said this, "Honor to the soldier and sailor everywhere who bravely bears his country's cause. Honor also to the citizen who cares for his brother in the field and serves as best he can the same cause." Billy Graham said this, the Reverend Billy Graham, "Courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened." And I love this quote from Ronald Reagan. "Some people live in an entire lifetime and wonder if they have ever made a difference in the world, but the Marines don't have that problem." Thank you to our Marines. And George Washington said this, our very first president, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly proportional to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by their nation." So this morning here at Your Family Matters 1180, we want our veterans to know that we indeed appreciate your courage and your boldness greatly. And how are we teaching that respect to our children, moms and dads, and families? How are we teaching respect and patriotism? Did you know that there's a lot of parallels, there's a lot of similarities between patriots here on this earth and our veterans, and patriots and veterans in the Christian walk? So I'd like to take a look at that today and get your thoughts on this as well, get you thinking about this. But often in the New Testament, St. Paul and a lot of the other disciples and apostles really talk about the Christian walk or life as a war, a spiritual war. It talks about we are fighting for our liberties and our freedom spiritually, correct? And then it talks about the reward. In the same way
our veterans here on this earth have been fighting, physically fighting, and they are protecting us. They are protecting us physically. They are allowing us to continue to have liberties and freedoms in the United States of America. Things like religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to own property. And we can go on and on. And it's a battle, and it's something that they must prepare for. It's something that they must prepare for every single solitary day, sometimes moment by moment. They need to have support around them when they are fighting for our country's liberty and freedoms. So therefore, let's take a look at the same battle that we might have as Christians. This is what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, that means flesh. It's a fancy word for flesh, carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When I read those few verses, it is a reminder to me of those people who are fighting here in the United States to preserve our freedoms and our liberties. That's very carnal. But then Paul brings us to spiritual things. So let's dissect each one of these verses quickly. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For Christians, we are warring against heavenly beings. We are warring against the unseen, aren't we? And then in 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning flesh, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. I am so thankful that when you and I are warring spiritually, we are mighty in God. He is the one that is going to pull down those strongholds that we think we cannot overtake, that we cannot capture in our lives. And then verse 5 reads, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We are, as Christians, to be aware of things that are not godly, that are not spiritually sound, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Not some of our thoughts, not a few of our thoughts. We are urged and told and warned that we are to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. This is something that's hard for me to do. Every day I have thoughts that go someplace that they should not be going, and I have to bring them back. Because as Christ warns us in St. Paul in Corinthians, every thought is to be taken into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Remember, we are soldiers, spiritual soldiers, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Another way that we can view the Christian task of witnessing and ministering is to see our efforts as a type of warfare. And as such, there's both a negative and a positive aspect to our mission here on this earth. Everything that exalts itself, everything that is wrong against God must be thrown down and destroyed and overtaken. Every thought that we have must be brought into captivity for Christ. Paul is alerting us to the reality, and I know that this is a reality, and I know that you know that this is a reality, that the greatest battles of the Christian life are fought in my mind, and they're fought in your mind. That's where the battle is raging each and every day. Remember, Martin Luther went into solitude for a while because he thought that if he went into solitude that he would be able to be pure and noble and righteous. And what did he discover? He discovered that his thoughts, he was suffering because there is evil inside of all of us. That's why we need our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we need to take captive every thought. There is a battle going on in our mind. So for the Christian battle, We have to take every thought captive and to go back and think about our veterans and our patriots who on this earth fight to preserve and protect our freedoms. Again, don't you think that they have to take every thought captive? Those thoughts when they're thinking, I don't want to go onto the battlefield. Why am I doing this? I miss my wife. I miss my children. I miss the holidays at home. Why am I doing all of these things? They are our hope. They are our leaders. And they have to take every one of these thoughts captive, and they have to continue to think that they have a higher authority, just as we as Christians, our higher authority is God. And that's such a wonderful thought. Our patriots and veterans here on this earth, their higher authority is going to be their captain or their lieutenant, or ultimately the CEO of this country, who is the president, who is sitting in the White House. And aren't I so thankful that we have, as Christians, God as our leader and not someone in the White House who sometimes we don't feel is as supportive as we want them to be to protect our freedoms and to protect our liberties. So that is what St. Paul is saying about spiritual war in 2 Corinthians. Let's talk about our defense. Let's talk about our Marines, our Navy, our Air Force, our armies. How do these people prepare for battle? How do they defend us? What is their key to winning battles? Well, I believe that it is preparing. I believe that it is coming up with war fighting capabilities and ideas, quick decision making. They have boldness, creativity, and intelligence. They know themselves well, they know their team well, and they also know their leader well. And in this same way, this is what we should be doing as Christians. We need to know our leader well, God, those Christians around us very well, and ourselves. This is what St. Paul has to say in Galatians. He says this about Christian liberty. Galatians chapter 5 says this, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." We are defending our liberty in Jesus Christ, just as our patriots are defending our liberties here on this earth. And then he continues to say, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Here, Paul is talking about our defending ourselves against legalism. This is a strong and very powerful thing in the church and in the Christian lifestyle and walk. But legalism, Paul rejects this. Lawlessness, the only alternative according to the legalists, which he also vehemently rejects. We don't want lawlessness, but we also do not want legalism. As Christians, we are supposed to be living a life of freedom, liberty, and it is spirit-directed living. This is what St. Paul enthusiastically endorses and wishes for all of us. And this liberty is freedom. It's freedom from exterior rule, really. We have our own Ten Commandments and natural law built right into each and every one of us. But this freedom presupposes new and greater responsibilities for the one who is liberated. The believer is no longer ruled by the law, but by God's Holy Spirit, which should be reigning inside of every one of our hearts and our families. And the believer's responsibilities and your family's responsibilities are far more profound as a result of this freedom and this liberty. And in the same way, those of us who live here in the United States of America, and again, our veterans and patriots are working, we have such a high responsibility because they are defending. We are the beacon. We are the lighthouse. We've talked about that in the last couple of weeks. That Christians are called to be beacons, lighthouses, the salt of the earth. We're to enhance and make things bright lights. And we're supposed to be working hard to be that light to the rest of the world, really. And in the same way, if America is strong and our patriots and veterans are keeping our liberties, then we are in that way able to be a lighthouse and a place of refuge and strength and safety for peoples of all lands. When we fight for our freedom and liberties and we defend these freedom and liberties, then what is our reward? St. Paul says in Philippians, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. He always has his eye on the goal, the heavenly, the celestial, the eternal goal. And he says this about our citizenship. As Christians, our citizenship is here on this earth, absolutely, but it is also, most importantly, in heaven. And he says this. He says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. He's talking about Jesus Christ, according to the working by which he himself is able to subdue all things to himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. He is urging the Christians to whom he is writing this to in Philippians. He's saying to them, stand fast. There's going to be a reward. It's eternity, and there is a crown. Again, just like our soldiers here in the United States of America, there is going to be a reward for them right here, and that is liberty, and that is our saying thank you to them when you see them. So we must defend our freedoms. We must be thankful for them, for our freedoms in Jesus Christ, and also our freedoms here that we're living with every day. Let's look at encouragement for those of us who are in spiritual battle, as well as those of our heroes who are battling right here on this earth for us. Let's see what David has to say. He is a man who is a warrior. He was a king. He was a leader. He had personal spiritual battles, but he also had battles earthly. He was constantly warring. People were constantly, his own children were trying to defeat him and take over his kingdom and his leadership. And this is what he writes in Psalms. Let this be an encouragement to all of us this Veterans Week. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend and bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They cried out, but there was none to save. Let this be an encouragement to all of us, these words that God is our fortress. God is our rock when our family is going through spiritual battles or earthly battles. It is God who strengthens our families. It is God who protects our feet and puts us on high places. He is the one that teaches our hands to make war. He does, so that our arms can bend and bow of bronze. He is going to be our salvation on this earth and also in our afterlife. Let's also take a look at Psalm 23, which many of you know by memory. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What an encouraging passage this is. Let's delve into this and see what it says for those of us who are enduring some kind of battle here on this earth. This psalm is one of the most beloved passages. I'm sure that you love it the way that I love it. It's really almost a jewel of the scriptures. Although it is customarily thought of as a shepherd's psalm because it's talking about shepherds and King David wrote it. Remember, he used to be a shepherd. There's really so much more to this. God is our great shepherd. He's actually the good shepherd. He loves us so very much. And what do shepherds do for their sheep? They guide us. They feed us. They tend and they care for us. Thus, we're moving into, He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Our good shepherd leads us to green pastures, not dead, brown pastures. He leads us to pastures where there is food and there's plenty. He leads us besides still waters where we can find refreshment and quiet and peace and calm, and we can get restored. It restores our body, our soul, our muscles. He doesn't lead us to places where they have tumultuous waters, okay? He's going to lead us as a shepherd by the still waters. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He will not lead us down an evil or terrible path for those of you who are in a tumultuous time with your families right now. God wants to lead you, as the good shepherd does, through paths of righteousness. In verse 4, he says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," which I know many of us have done with our families, "I will fear no evil." We do not fear evil because we know that God is holding our hand and guiding us through this as our good shepherd. "For you are with me." Again, that is the present tense. God is with us this very minute. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Again, this is a picture of the good shepherd. Why did shepherd use a rod? What is a rod? I looked this up. A rod is a very short club. It's used to fight off wild animals. It actually represents protection. This is what helps the shepherd to protect his sheep, his dumb sheep. Remember, sheep are not the wisest animals. I'm not that wise. You're not that wise. At least compared to God's wisdom, we are not. That's why we need His protection. We need His rod of protection. Remember, King David often had to protect his sheep against lions and bears, and he used a rod to do that. Then he also refers to a staff, which depicts or symbolizes guidance. The staff is to guide us. This was a long shepherd's stick with a crook. We often see this in nativity scenes. That is the shepherd's staff or his stick. That really shows us guidance. So we are having two things from our good shepherd, who is God: the rod and the staff. The rod is to protect us, and that staff is to guide us. And then in verse 6, he is going to say this: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." Did you know that God wants to prepare a table for us? He is sitting with us. Sometimes we have enemies all around us. Maybe even today, this very moment, enemies are all around your family and you don't know what to do about this. God is with you. There is some definite changes in David's thought patterns here. He's talking about being a guest at a banquet, even though his enemies are present there. God is still able to protect and care over you and me, all of his children. Even in the midst of a wicked, wicked, and terrible and antagonistic world, he still will protect us. And then he says that he will anoint our heads with oil and the cup runs over. This is a symbol and something they did often in the Old Testament in ancient times. Oil running over just really meant blessings that were going to befall a person. Verse 6 says this: "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So again, when you're thinking about your family, goodness and mercy are going to follow you all of the days of your life here on this earth. Whether you are living in Haiti, Africa, fighting for our freedoms in Syria, Iraq, Africa, or right here in the United States. Whether you are battling something with your family, spiritually, there's evil all around you. I urge you to look to God as your good shepherd, the way that King David did. Finally, in Psalm 23, verse 6, finally, this is the scene, the heavenly scene. There are no enemies present. No enemies present here to oppose God's children anymore. Let's read that again. We will dwell in the house of the Lord. Finally, we have our ultimate victory. Finally, we have peace. Finally, we are all together with God, the ultimate creator. Here are some objectives for your family this week when we are talking about Veterans Day and honoring our veterans and those who have served our military leaders. Whenever I am with my children, and even when I'm not with my children, if we're at Target or the supermarket or the farmer's market, and we see someone who we know has fought for this country or right now is fighting for this country, perhaps they have their uniform on, we always go up to them and we thank them and we talk to them and we ask them and we are interested and we want to know their story. I want them to teach their story to my three little girls. I want my three little girls to understand that there is someone, many people every day, who are fighting for my children's and my grandchildren's freedoms here in the United States of America. And they are protecting our freedoms. And they think that it is their duty and the reason that we are able to enjoy and have such luxury in this country is because there are courageous men and women who are defending all of our freedoms and our liberties. And then we will also say to that hero that we are praying for them. I do not know what their spiritual background is, but I think that that is one of the most encouraging things that I can teach my children to say to our heroes and to our patriots is that we are praying for them. And we do. That is the second thing that I wish for you to do with your family this week. I want you to go and thank a hero that you see somewhere, write them a letter, write letters to our heroes who are abroad right now fighting for our liberties. And then the second thing that I would like you to do besides thanking them is that I want you to pray for them tonight around the dinner table before your children go to bed. I want you as a mother and a father to pray for our heroes because courage is really contagious. Isn't it? You are teaching your children to be courageous by listening to our heroes' stories. And it is our responsibility as parents to teach our children to be courageous and not only to thank these heroes, but to pray for them, to pray for their safety, to pray for victory in battle, to pray that our enemy, their enemy, is defeated. And then thirdly, I want you to teach your children to be proud and thankful and appreciative of the United States of America. We are the only country that enjoys all of these freedoms. We are the only country where we can be sitting in a coffee shop, a Jew, a Muslim, an atheist, a Christian, and we're not destroying one another. No one yet has to look through all of our purses the way that they have to in Israel to identify that we are not carrying weapons of destruction to hurt one another. In this country, we never want to take our freedoms for granted. Never want to take them for granted. I leave you with these quotes. Thomas Campbell said this, "The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree. The patriot's blood is the seed of freedom's tree." That was written by Thomas Campbell. How very true that is. And then Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote this, "They are dead, but they live in each patriot's breast, and their names are engraven on honor's bright crest." As Americans, we should be on our hearts carrying the burden and the pride of every one of these patriots and veterans that went before us or is serving our country this very minute. And as Christians, we also should be carrying on our hearts the names and the stories of those martyrs that have gone before us, that have died for saying, "Yes, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a Christian." We put that name before our very own Christian, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. We want to identify ourselves with him. And even now, this very day, we have ISIS that is killing Christians in the Middle East. We know that they are being beheaded because they have a faith and belief in Jesus Christ. So I do not want you to forget that we are in a spiritual battle and we are in a battle here on this earth. But how encouraging it is to know that God is our leader, and how encouraging it is to know that we will be victorious here on this earth and certainly in eternity. It is our Christian duty to speak out against evil. If Christians do not speak out against evil, who is going to, I ask you? If Christians are not going to wage war on evil and battle evil on this earth and in this life, then I ask you, who is going to stand up and be courageous and be bold and die for truth? Enjoy this song, but it's called The Statue of Liberty. It is by the Gaither Band, one of my parents' very favorite bands in the whole entire world, called The Statue of Liberty. This is a song that reminds us of the amazing, amazing freedom that we have in this amazing, amazing country. And that although we have such great freedom here on this earth, we as Christians belong to citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and that price comes at an even greater cost. The greater cost is that of Jesus Christ and his death on a cross for us. So no matter what earthly kingdom we are fighting for here on this earth, know that the kingdom of God will stand forever. And I challenge you to celebrate this Veterans Day, not just for the freedom that we have in this great nation, but also the freedom that we experience in the greatest kingdom ever, and that is the kingdom of God. So enjoy the Statue of Liberty. And please stick around for 10 minutes with Mrs. Nancy Hansen of Capstone Legacy Foundation.
In New York Harbor stands a lady with a torch raised to the sky.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Thanks, Carla, for the introduction. I am Nancy Houston Hansen, and I am the CEO of Capstone Legacy Foundation. And as been a donor over time, I assure you that we are here to serve just exactly in the way that those veterans have served. In our country, we're here to serve those of you who have a heart to give of your gifts and your generosity of things God has given you into this time of year to our community. And whatever God has placed on your heart, we are here to serve Christians by Christians for Christians and those that have similar values that just want to see our culture changed and really brought to the values that we have known and have been a part of our life and been really part of what's made America great. We do serve the Lord, and we do believe that what he's put on our hearts for 1 Corinthians 4:1-2 are very important as a guideline for us. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ, and therefore stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. And we feel that that is our commitment to those of you who really like to give to the community and serve the community with the gifts and talents and finances God has given you. Today I have Tom Conway with us, who is our strategic administrator for the things that come in and talking to people about how we can help and them steward their gifts into that which is on their hearts. So welcome, Tom.
Hi, Nancy.
You know, this is a time of the year when we really do honor veterans for all that they've done to give us the kind of freedoms that we enjoy in this country. And you know, America is known as a generous nation. I would guess that probably we are the most generous nation of any that exists in the world. And the American people themselves are generous. Basically, we're because of our Judeo-Christian heritage, people have been taught to give from the very early ages, and whether it's individuals, whether it's companies, whether it's foundations, there's just a lot of charitable giving that takes place in this country that is not normal to other places in the world. Also, as we're entering into the fall season here, probably from October through December is often called the giving season by many people because it's a time when people kind of do some reflection. Obviously, Christmas brings out the whole subject of giving, but also people begin to evaluate what they're going to do with what they have and what are the organizations, churches, charities, or whatever that they can invest in to help to see the gospel continue and to have and people serve, you know, through the organizations that they support. One of the things that we do at Capstone is we encourage generosity and we help people to do their giving in a very tax efficient way.
Yeah, I think the thing is we have spent quite a bit of time trying to help people realize how they can get out of their consideration all of the complexities and compliances that are required in giving and put them into a fund that minimizes anything other than just the joy of giving, because we have a back office support system that handles all of the tax consequences, handles all of the legal clients with things that people want to do. And it just gives them the fun of being able to realize you can put assets into an account and it can then be used as you feel led to give to the community. You can accrue funds over time. And the thing I was thinking about is there are sometimes we're looking at our cash balances and we're realizing that we don't have as much as we'd like to put into account. And there are other things that we may have that we're not even aware has value that if it could put into an organization like ours, which is a foundation, which means it's a 501c3, and people can get a tax deduction on what we call non-liquid assets. Then they get a value when they're brought into Capstone. That value then goes as the ability for them to get a tax deduction. That can then be sold, put into an account, and giving them the ability to give funds away to an organization, a ministry, a church of the choice that would really give you the ability to give at a little bit later time. So that's something that we do as well, right, Tom?
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that they may have assets other than cash to give. And whether they have marketable securities, if you have appreciated stock that you've held for more than a year, You can give that into your fund, a capstone. And I think a lot of people don't realize that at Capstone, you have the ability to kind of set up your own family foundation under the umbrella of Capstone Legacy Foundation. When you make your gift to Capstone, you get your tax deduction, but it goes into your account. So in one sense, we become a little bit like a bank of charitable giving. So just like you write checks out of your checking account to pay your bills, once you put your money into your donor advised fund, or what we call your family foundation at Capstone, then you're able to make grants out of that to the churches and charities that you're interested in. One of the beauties of our system is that once you put your money into your fund at Capstone, all your giving from that point on can be done on the internet. You just log into, we'll give you a login information for your own account. You can log into your account. You can give us, type in the charities that you want or the church that you want the money to go to. And then if you wanted to do it as an anonymous gift, sometimes people like to give anonymously, and it's hard to do that if you're writing a check because your name is on the check. But at Capstone, you would be able to give out of your account to the organizations you want to give to, and there's just a little button that you click that says anonymous, and that way the gift goes out to that charity out of your fund, but it doesn't have your name on it. So the organization just gets a gift from Capstone without designating what fund it happens to be. And, you know, another reason that people tend to like to use the funds that we have at Capstone, a lot of business owners come into a situation where they've been working all year long, and it's coming near the end of the year, and they realize, okay, you know, I'm going to have to pay taxes on what I made this year. And so oftentimes their accountant, CPA or whatever, will help them to think through how much profit they made this year that they're going to be required to pay taxes on. And I've run into a lot of people who say, you know, I made more than I thought I was going to, and I want to give a certain percentage of what I made to the Lord's work, but I'm not quite sure which charities I want to give to right now. So that's the beauty of a fund at Capstone, because a person could write a check out of their business account or whatever to Capstone. It could go into their fund. They get their tax deduction, but then they have time to think about and pray about what charities they would like to bless with the funds that they put into their account.
Yeah, I think another thing that is true is that we have something called a donor view. And, you know, how do you know what you have in your account and how can you follow it? And if it gets up to a certain level, it can be invested. Or if you have your own investment managers, that's fine. We work with those as well. But the idea is there is a code that you're given, and you type that code in, and up pops your view of all of your transactions, what you have there, what you'd like to do with what you have. And then you can type in what you'd like to have done if you don't want to have to come in or call in. And then that gives direction as to what we're to do with them. And then we can get that out, and you see when it leaves and when it arrives at its destination. One of the other things that Capstone does do to help people to give is to make sure that those gifts are going to fulfill the directions that we're given, and that the person who has a desire to give will make sure it accomplishes its purpose. We do what we call vetting out, and that just makes sure that they are what you think they are and that they're doing what you hope to accomplish through your gift. So those are just services we offer to you, the giver.
Yeah, I think another thing, too, sometimes people ask, well, who is it that Capstone really ends up serving? And really, we end up serving people who are givers, and we can meet those people many different ways. Sometimes they just come on their own. Sometimes givers that we serve are private foundations, and private foundations often set up accounts at Capstone for a couple of reasons. One is that sometimes to fulfill their 5% giving requirement that they're supposed to give every year out of their private foundation, if they haven't fulfilled that yet, they can make a gift into their donor advised fund there at Capstone, and that qualifies for their 5%. Another reason is that private foundations that want to make anonymous gifts, it's very difficult to do that if you're a private foundation, because, again, your name is on the check if you send it. But if you do it through your Capstone account, you can make anonymous gifts. A lot of companies want to be charitable in the community as well. And they can set up a fund at Capstone, and then they can give out of that account to the organizations that they want to give to. And, you know, we find that often a lot of professional advisors who have clients that want to be charitable end up seeing Capstone as a place where their clients can set up funds so that the clients can accomplish their charitable objectives.
Yeah, we are there to do a multiple of things for people. Basically, our services are flexible, working with people according to what their gift and what their desires are and how they want to give. Sometimes people also have pieces of jewelry or artwork that they feel that they have that's of value to them, and it's not going to have value to the next generation. And our tendency is either to go to a jewelry store or to go to an art gallery or so forth. But we have to realize that when those places are the recipients of them, they have margins they need to make too. And with Capstone, we have someone we work with who really would be the first person to go out to find a match for that particular artifact and get the maximum of the gift out of that. And so the tax deduction comes as it comes into Capstone. We have somebody who would go out and get the most appreciated value for the for that gift, for that artifact, and then whatever after the transaction, it goes into a donor advised fund. And that gives money that can then be used to give back into the community. So there are a lot of really neat ways that we can help. Our goal is to come alongside you, to help you accomplish the things that God's put on your heart and of these different ways that they can be accomplished. Right, Tom?
Yeah, and one of the things that we can do at Capstone, sometimes we can help you to think through the best way to accomplish your charitable objectives, you know, because we have people that play in this charitable giving space all the time, that we can sometimes have a discussion with you and help you to think the best way for you to accomplish your objectives. You know, a lot of people, there are probably some listeners here that are over 70 and a half, and, you know, in the past years, you've been able to give directly out of your IRA to charity. So far this year, the government has not extended that privilege for 2015. However, most people expect that by the end of the year, you'll be able to do that. And if that's the case, then any gift made even from the beginning of the year would be retroactive. So if you are over 70 and a half, you happen to have an IRA, and you have given in the past out of your IRA directly to charity, you probably will be able to do that if the Congress passes that law, which most attorneys expect will take place before the end of the year. I think one other thing is sometimes people need income off of a gift that they want to make to charity. And so we have charitable, what are called charitable gift annuities that enable a person to get money back. You know, the interest rates that you get in a CD now are pretty, pretty low. But depending upon your age, you can get a considerable return on your investment if you set up a charitable gift annuity where the ultimate beneficiary would be the charity, but for the rest of your life, you can receive an income off of those assets.
Well, I hope we've challenged your thinking a lot about how you can give toward the end of the year or at any time, and how Capstone can help you. That's our goal, is to help you leave a legacy now and into the future. It's your solution for tax-efficient charitable giving. Our foundation is a 501c3 Christian Community Foundation. We're located in Wayne, Pennsylvania. And you can get in touch with us by our website, www.capstonelegacy.org. We're at 900 West Valley Road in Wayne, Pennsylvania. Our phone number is 610-688-8890. Thank you for listening, and may God bless your living legacy.
You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. A quote from Abraham Lincoln.